In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. Christ is in our midst.
He is and ever shall be.
When the days grow shorter and colder, as the season of winter arrives, perhaps some of us lose the opportunity to pursue some of our favorite outdoor activities. There are some people who, in fact, during this season, experience a bout of depression. It's something so common that there's a name for it, winter blues. Research into this phenomenon has revealed that this seasonal depression actually has a source in many people. It's actually has a name for it, and that is seasonal affective disorder. And it has been discovered that certain individuals, their emotional well-being is actually, it suffers when the daylight diminishes, when they don't have enough time in sunshine. They actually start to get depressed, that there's a physiological connection to their emotional state. And the most common treatment for somebody who suffers from this affliction is to have their daily routine to include time under a sun lamp. They need time in the light. It's interesting to note that our churches, during this dark season of winter, at least in the northern hemisphere, we hear about this theme of light. It comes up at the Feast of Nativity. We celebrate, and it is a feast of light. And once again, the theme of light is emphasized as we come to the Feast of Theophany. This theme of light emerges even in the gospel text today in the midst of this season. When we face darkness, we all recognize that we need the light of Christ to shine in our lives. In the gospel text from Matthew, we hear how Jesus ventured into a dark place. Of course, neither the gospel writer nor the prophet Isaiah, who is quoted here, neither one of them is speaking about physical light and physical darkness. It wasn't dark because there was a thick canopy of a forest that grew over this place, so thick that it was dark under the canopy of the forest. It wasn't dark because this region was a deep canyon that prevented the sun from shining into the depths of this canyon. The region was dark, and this reference of darkness and the shadow of death is not talking about physical darkness, but a spiritual darkness. Certainly by the time of Christ, this region had become associated with sinfulness. Some of this was true, and some of this was just an unfair negative reputation that they had earned over the years. But one thing is certain, there's a few things that we need to understand, a few geographical details as well as historical phenomenon that led to this kind of perspective. First of all, this area was always in the northern extreme in the kingdom of Israel. And because it was in the extreme northern end of the kingdom, it largely was geographically cut off from the religious life that occurred primarily in the southern part of the kingdom in the city of Jerusalem. As in addition to this, there were historical phenomena that took place over the centuries. In the days of Solomon, the kingdom was united, but as Solomon passed away and the kingdom was passed to his son did not have the wisdom that his father Solomon did, and the kingdom was divided, a northern kingdom and a southern kingdom. And this being the extreme north was part of that northern kingdom, and again, it was further cut off from the religious heritage that was part of its natural destiny. Over the years, the divided kingdoms had different experiences in interacting with the nations that were around them. In the 8th century BC, the northern kingdom was conquered by the Assyrian Empire. And in the 6th century BC, the Babylonian Empire conquered the southern kingdom. So this led to a further separation between these regions and these tribes. Even in the days of Jesus, we recognize in the Gospel of John that there is this major geographical barrier that had become a cultural and religious barrier, the land of Samaria, that was in between the northern and the southern parts of the land. So over time, the spiritual heritage that was once naturally in this place, it gradually became lost. They lost touch with this. And over time, they embraced more and more dark practices, and the region became associated with sinfulness and darkness. It's interesting to note that after Christ was baptized, he withdrew from Nazareth, and he went and he settled in this dark place of Galilee. what was assumed to be a sinful place, a den of iniquity, if you will. It's important to note this is where Christ was, and that Christ wasn't intimidated by the darkness. Christ wasn't afraid to make his home among sinners. You know, to paraphrase something that Jesus said elsewhere, brightly lit places don't need additional light, do they? Christ came into this world to save sinners. Christ, the light of the world, came to shine in the darkness, not to add light to what is already light. He came to shine in the darkness. And thus, Christ comes to this dark region and began to illumine the dark region of Galilee simply by dwelling there and beginning his ministry there. Again, this region fell into darkness because it had become disconnected from its spiritual foundation. And this is nothing unusual in and of itself. I mean, how can God's light continue to shine when it is disconnected from God himself? Without a connection, how does God's light continue to shine? See, this is more than just a historical occurrence. It's more than just the geography of the region. It, in fact, reveals to us a spiritual principle that applies even in our day, even in our time, even in our context. And that is, spiritual life is maintained as we maintain a connection to spiritual life. It's really that simple. And when our connection to spiritual life is broken or severed, guess what? We quickly fall into darkness. The reason we walk in the light is because we maintain a connection to Christ, who is the light. Christ came into this dark world to bring his radiant light. And he comes into the darkness of our lives to bring his light into our lives. He isn't intimidated by the darkness that we face or whatever darkness he may discover in us. His light always overpowers the darkness, is infinitely more powerful than the darkness. But we must understand that Christ always respects something that has been given to us, and that is our free will. And when we choose our will to cut ourselves off from the one who is the light and the life, he respects that we don't want to have his interaction in our life. When we become cut off from divine life, from the light that we once knew begins to fade. And our life that was once illumined by the light of God begins to slowly become dark once again. Christ taught us that we must abide in him. And that takes into account that our will and our effort is involved. He taught us that if we abide in him, that he is the vine and we are the branches, and if we abide in him, we would bear much fruit. But he also taught us that if we become cut off from divine life, then we are cut off from the vine and we will bear no fruit, but in fact suffer judgment in time. When we are cut off from divine life, the reality is we don't bear fruit. The reality is our lives grow dark. So our will and our effort must be always focused on remaining connected to divine life. How do we do that? There are really some simple ways that we do this. On a daily basis, there are simple things that we do to maintain a connection to divine life. Prayer, reading the scriptures, fasting, giving alms. These are simple things we can do any given day of our life. And these are ways that we maintain that connection to our spiritual life. On a weekly basis, it's also simple. How do we do it? By attending services, participating in the sacraments that are offered each Saturday and Sunday, sacraments of communion and confession, services of Great Vespers, the liturgy, and so forth. It's there. It's for us each week to partake of divine life, to maintain the spiritual life that is given to us. Seasonally, we have opportunities like feast days, festal seasons and the like, and various activities that are associated with them. This time of year in particular, we have the unique opportunity to have our homes blessed. And this is something we participate in because it is a connection to our spiritual life. It's necessary to be connected and to have our home connected to this reality that is our life. You know, we refer to baptism sometimes by the term illumination. And this is not by accident. We recognize that baptism is an enlightening experience for the soul of the individual. So in this season, as we continue to celebrate Theophany, Christ's baptism, we focus on this theme of light. Christ came into this world to bring enlightenment. He comes into our lives to bring light into our lives. And that light of Christ, it begins to dawn in our hearts as we experience baptism. See, that's illumination. Christ dawns in our heart as we are baptized. And that light of Christ that dawns in our hearts at baptism is to grow in intensity. The light of Christ begins to dawn in our heart, and it's to grow and grow in its intensity and begin to shine in our minds and in our thought processes and the way we approach life and our mindsets. It's to grow and intensify and shine in our lives. It's to grow in intensity and shine in our homes. It's to shine on those that are around us. See, the light of Christ is to radiate from within us to those who are around us. We too are supposed to be lights in this dark world, quite simply because Christ, the light of the world, dwells within. The light of Christ is powerful, and it always prevails. It always overcomes the darkness. That is what the light of Christ does. That is what the light of Christ does in our lives. The only thing that stops the radiance of Christ's light from shining forth from us is us. See? The only thing is when we choose to become disconnected from divine life, from the light that is Christ, then the light begins to fade. But when we remain connected to the light, to Christ, the light continues to shine in us and naturally grows in its intensity. The light grows in us, and the darkness, whatever darkness we face, whatever darkness we struggle against, it gradually is overtaken by the light if we simply maintain our connection to the light. It's simply what light does. It's simply what Christ has come into this world to do, to shine in the darkness. And our job is really quite simple. Our job is simply, first of all, to remain connected to Christ, who is the light. And secondly, as the light of Christ shines on our lives, we will discover that there are areas that are, in fact, obstacles and obstructions to His light continuing to shine. And as we discover those things in our life, we have to remove those obstacles and those obstructions through repentance. And really, that's essentially the spiritual life. Remaining connected to Christ and removing the obstacles that keep Christ from shining in us. See, this region of Galilee, it had become disconnected from spiritual life. And being disconnected, it naturally fell into darkness. But Christ came to that dark place to bring the light. And it's so indicative of what Christ does in each of our lives. It's likewise true that when we become disconnected from spiritual life, our lives fall into darkness. Our primary focus is to remain connected to Christ, who is the source of life. We remain connected to Christ, who is the light of the world, and we let His light shine. And through repentance, we remove whatever obstacle may block His light from shining in us. See, this is what we should do in this season. You know, we may miss the sunlight outside, but we have to recognize we need Christ even more than the sun that shines outside. Whatever thing we may be going through, whatever darkness we may be feeling, whatever depression we may even feel in this season, we have to recognize that Christ, the light of the world, needs to shine in us. This is our focus. This is our goal. The light of Christ will shine in us and overpower our darkness. The light of Christ will shine in our homes. The light of Christ will shine through us to those who are around us. All because we remain connected to Christ, who is the light of the world. All because Christ has dawned. His light has dawned in the depths of our hearts. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.